There's a question that jumps out at you at the beginning of the parasha. You know, the Torah tells us Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, and Rashi has a couple of interpretations of the pasuk. But in one of them, after initially interpreting the opening section of the parasha, Rashi says up until that point he was saying simple pshat, but now he's going to get into an explanation of the very same psukim in a style of Medrash Agada. So he says in the style of Medrash Agada, lama nismucha parasha Atem nitzavim leklalos. Why is it that Atem Nitzavim comes right after the Tocha? Lefisha Shamu Yisrael Meya Klolos Chaser Shtayim. The Jewish people just heard 98 Klolos. That's twice as many as they heard in Sefer Vayikra. Chutz Me'arboim V'Teisha Shabbatoros Kalim. Leaving aside the 49 that they already heard. Hariku Paneim. So they went, their face turned colors. V'Ramu Miyu Chalamud Be'lu. And they said, who could withstand these curses? Maschel Moshe Lefaisim. So Moshe began to appease them. Atem Nitzavim Ayom. You're standing today. Don't worry, you did so many averos, and look, Hashem didn't wipe you out. You're still around. And that was going to be the comfort to the Jewish people. The question that emerges is, what kind of nechama is it? They, in fact, were not all standing in front of Hashem. They sinned, and they paid a price, a very, very steep price. The entire Dor HaMidbar was killed. They were not Nitzavim Ayom. Their children were Nitzavim Ayom. You know, it was a speech given to the next generation who just witnessed the cost of sin. And they know better than anybody from first-hand experience that those curses are not empty threats, that their life experience tells them that if you let God down, He's going to react in kind. Where is the nechama? The experience of the Dor HaMidbar would seem to be the exact opposite of nechama. So in Sefer Michtam Eliyahu, on pages 33 to 35, he develops a yesod, a very, very important yesod. During any person's lifetime, there are times that a person is going to experience success, things that come easily, and many, many more times that things will not come as easily, that things will only be achieved through hard work. If a person ever plays competitive sports, even if you're not that good, you've had a game where it just seemed like you couldn't miss. Meaning, I was never particularly good at sport. I remember that summer in Camp Masora when I had that game after 10th grade, you know, where I couldn't miss. And everyone, you know, they thought that was, you know, I was going to be a star after that. I wasn't, and I didn't. It never happened again. But you didn't do anything different or special that day. You worked no harder that day. If anything, it was just easier that day. That's what we call itarusa de la eila, that which comes from above. It's just like a gift that's granted to you on that day. Most of the time, that is not how success is achieved. Most of the time, success comes through challenge, whatever we find most difficult. Success that comes after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, that's what we call itarusa de la tasa. That's an inspiration from below. It's something that we build in this world. And the same thing happens in the world of ruchnius. Sometimes you daven a really great Shemoneh Esrei, and you have no idea why you were able to focus for the entire time. You were never able to focus before for the entire time. All of a sudden, you were just zoned in, and it worked, and you felt connected, and it was just a moment of inspiration. You just ride that wave. But other times, most times, it's a real grind to be able to focus in the entire Shemoneh Esrei. You work through it, you develop all sorts of strategies to focus, but that's it, Arusa Dilatasa. The same with learning a Black Gemara, right? Sometimes it just flows, you know, you just open up the Gemara, it's like it's clicking, and most often, it's not. You really have to work hard, and you need it, Arusa Dilatasa. The Michtam Eliyahu says that the rule in life is that even though it feels great when we have an itarusa de la eila, but when there's an itarusa de la tasa, that's something that's yesh lakiyum. That's something that's going to be more lasting. You know, to put it simply, easy come, easy go. Right? If it, you know, someone sent me a quote that we do this not because it was easy, but because I thought it would be easy. Of course, that's not the real quote. John F. Kennedy, when talking about the moon landing, said, we do this not because it was easy, but because it is hard, right? Meaning that which is hard is a real accomplishment. At Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal tell us, Rasa Shivcha Layam, Mashalara Yecheskel Ben Buzi Ben Nevuaso. That at the time Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shivcha Layam saw a greater level of Nevua than Yecheskel Ben Buzi himself. Yes, so where are all the books that were written by the Shvachos Aliyam? Where are the Sifrei Nevi'im that they wrote? How come there are no books in Tanakh from the Shivcha Aliyam? Their Nevuah was greater than that of Yecheskel. Yecheskel wrote this really long, complicated book. But they didn't. because their moment was a moment of great vision that happened through Itarusa de Le'ela. As exhilarating as it might have been, it's never going to match a lifetime of Yechezkel working on himself through the horrific period of the Churban, through being in Galus, to be an appropriate clay kibble for Ashras HaShechina. You have a similar example with the Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu received. First set of Luchos was Michtav Elokim. It's literally Itarusa de La'elo. It was purely from God. The Luchos Shnios had to be prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu. The actual stones were a gift the first time around, as was the experience of Kabbalah Satorah. The second time, the second Luchos, came through 40 days of serious tshuva by Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to chisel the stones, psal l'cha. The Torah teaches that whatever comes easily is easily lost. That which we work for has a kiyum. I heard a beautiful remez from Michal Horowitz. We were together, both speaking for the chief rabbinate in England last year in Elul time, and she said something in the name of Rav Ephraim Shapiro. There are three times that Moshe had trouble understanding something. The Maisa HaMenorah was something that we're told was Niskasha Moshe. It was hard for him to make the menorah and understand its intricacies. Again, in Machs HaShekel, Hashem showed him Kemin Matbea Shel Eish, and he said Kazeh Yitnu. And the final time is HaChodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodeshim. So where Rashi says Niskasha Moshe Al Molar HaLevana. How does, you know, exactly what the moon has to look like when you're Makadish the Chodesh. The phrase HaChodesh Zelechem implies that Hashem, HaChodesh Hazeh, that Hashem was more be'etzba, that he had to show him, he had to demonstrate, because Moshe was having a hard time envisioning it. The name Moshe, says Rav Ephraim Shapiro, Michal Horowitz, in the name of Rav Ephraim Shapiro, the name Moshe is Rashi Tevos, Menorah Shekel HaChodesh, because the essence of a person is not about what comes to him easily in life. The essence of a person is about what he has to work for, what he has to work in order to gain. We're defined by what we struggle with. Niskasha Moshe. Yaakov Avinu lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years, and we know nothing about those years because they were uneventful and they were smooth. It was his golden years. But prior to that, we know a lot about those years. And that idea might answer our question. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim mostly because we had Zuchus Avos. We had to have a couple of Zuchuyos to get out, you know, Dan Pesach, Dan Mila, whatever. But ultimately it happened because we were the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. It was largely in the Tarusa de La'ela. The next generation, who grew up in the Midbar, lived their entire lives through a time of Onesh, where we had to do the mitzvos and observe the Torah. That was most likely, more likely, to have a kiyum. When the people were frightened by the tochacha, Moshe comforts them and says, look what can come from punishment. Not, don't worry, it's not going to happen. It will happen. But look what can be accomplished from punishment. Look how our struggles can make us so much stronger. That which is hard for us, that which doesn't come for free, will make us great. And essentially, yeah, these punishments will happen if we don't behave. But ultimately, that's to our benefit. So this is a time of year where we're called upon to do that which is hard. You know, I'm not even referring to tefillah. Tefillah, in a certain sense, comes easily this time of year. They put up the best balei tefillah, who spend so much time working on trying to figure out how to inspire the olam, how to inspire the tzibur. I'm referring to tshuva. Tshuva is a hard process. We asked Rav Meir Tversky what we did wrong in our tefillah last year, that we had such a terrible year, and what we can fix to make our tefillah better this year. And he said many things. One of the things he said was, Mehechi Tesi, that was a problem in the tefillah. Maybe it was a problem in the tshuva. The Rambam says that Kol Zman, that Klal Yisrael does tshuva, and it's Tzoik Belev Shalem, and also Davin's well, so then we're Nana, we're always answered. Maybe we were Tzoik Belev Shalem. First of all, we can't be sure that we were. Maybe we were. But maybe we just didn't do tshuva. You know, it's an avoda. You know, but you know what's an even bigger avoda? Being a forgiving person. A person who's willing to be mevater, to allow himself a few indignities for the sake of shalom. And it's exactly what we're asking Hashem to do for us. But how many of us are willing to do it for others? We often think of mahu afata, you know, the idea of having good midos is like the easy part of Torah. You know, like the hard part is being makbir in every detail of kashrus or whatever. Rabbi Saul Reisman pointed out the absurdity of such a thought. Imagine that somebody told you that you have to be like Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Soloveitchik, right? You would laugh at the person. That's crazy talk. I'm supposed to be like Rav Moshe. I'm supposed to be. But when the Torah says be like Hashem, we're like, oh yeah, that's the easy part. You know, like, that's it's very, very hard. If being mevater was easy, there would be no kuntz in being mevater. The point is that we do these things. We do these things because they are hard. And when we do things because they are hard, that ultimately is the greatest suchus, not only to make us better people, but it's the greatest suchus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us all a ksiva v'chasima tovah.